Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
We're back up here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Just real quick before we switch gears over to football, guys, this rematch with Minnesota. What do you guys think about that? Michigan on the road. I mean, they passed one road test in Maryland, which we've seen Maryland show some flashes this season. Michigan destroyed Minnesota. Hunter Dickinson thoroughly outplayed, dominated Liam Robbins. Marcus Carr had an off game, but it's not like they left that game. I mean, both those guys struggled against Iowa, who you guys just so aptly pointed out played no defense. So I'm not with the way Michigan plays defense. I guess I really feel like, you know, Michigan is at least that part of the performance they can replicate, the way that they, how disruptive they were defensively to a couple of guys, a duo that's really struggling offensively right now.
Yeah, so Carr kind of had those two threes at the end of the first half where Michigan isn't able to get their screen coverage right. And then the second half, Dickinson starts blitzing because he has zero fouls. So that's a luxury that you have when you're big is able to stay that much out of foul trouble. So if Dickinson gets a couple fouls, if Robbins kind of plays a better game, which I expect him to, just because, you know, he's coming from the MVC. He hasn't seen a guy like that before. He'll adapt, and I think he'll play better. So if he's able to get a foul or two on Dickinson, and then, you know, Michigan isn't able to execute their second half strategy again because of that, then I think you could see Michigan in the game. But I mean, if it's not Carr and it's not Robbins, that supporting cast is really struggling. So unless Kalischer kind of gets off the schneid here and gets back to being a freshman shooting 41% from three instead of 26 or whatever, like, you know, Booth Gatchett is not going to beat you.
Yeah, that seems about right to me. I mean, I think if we're not in foul trouble, if they can keep Dickinson and Smith on the court, Michigan is in good shape in this game. But you always worry about a couple of cheap fouls early, and the next thing you know, the game gets beyond you somehow. But we'll see. Michigan hasn't really seen that so far in the Big Ten. So,
Who do you want after, they played each other and then they had a week? Do you want Richard Pitino drawing up what the answer is going to be, or do you want Juwan Howard drawing up what your answer is going to be?
Yeah,
great point. All right, let's switch gears. Get over to football. Big news yesterday. Get your reaction. Mike Hart, Michigan's new running backs coach. What do you think of the move?
Well, I think you should do all the press conferences. Be good. Good stuff. I mean, all the Indiana fans that I follow on Twitter were despondent at this news, which is a good sign. And I think he's going to be able to recruit really well. How meaningful it's going to be to have him as a running backs coach, I don't know. I mean, running backs coaches are usually reputed to be like guys who kind of roll out the ball and go recruit. And if anyone can defy that, it's probably Mike Hart. But, you know, the running back room already looks pretty good under Jay Harbaugh's tutelage. So I don't expect like a huge upgrade on field play. He'll help in recruiting. And
yeah, I think it's a net gain as a recruiter. You go from McDaniels to Mike Hart. I think that you have seriously increased or enhanced the recruiting prowess of your offensive staff. Now it'll be interesting to see what happens on the defensive side of the ball, if they can have similar upgrades as far as recruiting is concerned on that side of the ball. Time will tell, but definitely in an off season where, I mean, even I struggle to find any happiness in the Michigan fan base. This seemed to be something different, you know, a glass half full, at least for a second, for a moment, with fans excited about Mike Hart's return. What do you think of it, Craig?
I think it's great. I think the fan base loves it, and anything that, you know, makes the fan base, including me, feel happy right now is a good thing. It seems that he's been a successful recruiter, you know, everywhere he's been, even at Eastern. I think Brian or Seth was pointing out off air, he had some success there. And plus, I like him. I like the fact that, you know, he and D'Antonio hated each other. And anyone who despises Mark D'Antonio or whatever his name is fine with me.
And, disrespect.
So I like that. And what I really like about two things I like most about Mike Hart was I don't think any running back ever at Michigan played harder than Mike Hart, who would never, ever give up on a play. And two, he, except for the first game of his career and the last game of his career, I don't think he ever fumbled. And he was a great pass blocker, maybe the best. And even though he was a short guy, he was one of the best in Michigan history. Only A-Train came close. And so maybe these things can translate to some extent to the running backs we have, and maybe we'll see some improvement there. So, you know, I'm super happy with Mike Hart coming. And I think I've had a bunch of emails. Everyone was excited about Mike Hart being a part of the coaching staff. So I think it's great.
Yep. From a fan perspective, you know, we love it because we're all Michigan fans and Mike Hart, mm-hmm. you know, made us feel good. And the optics that helps too. I think where it helps most are in places that we don't normally see, like analysts and people breaking down film aren't ever going to see how mm-hmm. high school coaches see Michigan, how the Carr guys see Michigan. And I know we kind of dismiss that all the time, like, you know, how the old players just need to shut up and fall in line, but they don't. And when they're talking, and they were talking long before the program had, you know, this horrible 2020 season and went to the death spiral with Ohio State, like, those guys have been talking, and this gives them some credibility in an area where they were severely lacking. And like Sam says, it helps them recruiting. I don't think that's just with the players. I think that this gives them a lot of credibility with some high school coaches who they've lost credibility with over the last few years, and gives them some credibility with people in the around the program who you really need, who've not been really pulling their weight lately because they don't believe in the program.
All right, so switching to the other side of the ball, a lot of smoke around Mike McDonald, linebackers coach for the Baltimore Ravens. Certainly a name that I've heard for a while. It was one that I had honestly, once we got into the new year, I'd kind of written off. You know, didn't think that it was necessarily going to go that route. And then, so when the name came out, it's like, okay, well, immediately knew that was legit because I'd heard it before. So I expect that to go down. I expect it to be Mike McDonald, a guy who basically cut his teeth as a coach, as an on-field coach in the pros with the Baltimore Ravens. He was previously a GA with Georgia. I believe he's 33. He originally had questions about whether this would be a co-DC type of role. And while I have not been told definitively that it won't be, I've heard nothing so far has made me think that that's the route that they're going to go. So that being the case, I'm curious what you guys think of Mike McDonald based on what you've been able to uncover so far. I understand there's a lot we don't know, but based on what you do know, what do you think of Mike McDonald as the possible potential defensive coordinator for Michigan?
Well, I mean, there's nothing really to dig up, right? Because he's been a position coach in the NFL for a few years, and that's his whole track record. So he's never recruited. We have no evidence of what he would do if put in a position of power because he's never had one. It might be the smartest thing to do because the last time you got a defensive coordinator, it was Don Brown, who had the best resume in the country. So how do you top the best resume in the country? You don't. You go with someone with no resume. And then, well, I can't criticize anything here because there's nothing going on. I mean, the one thing I will say, despite the fact that he's been in the NFL the whole time, you know, he's on a team with Lamar Jackson. So it's not like he's unfamiliar with the idea of what you need to do to stop a mobile quarterback because he's trying to do it every day in practice. So, you know, I feel like this is a shot in the dark, and I think it's something. It's a hire you make when you're not really attractive to other college DCs because there's a lot of uncertainty in the program and a strong chance that you don't get to year two. So this guy is an up-and-comer who wants to take a swing at it. That's fine. I have no capability to tell you whether it's a good idea or a bad idea.
Seth?
Yeah, I think it'd be a brilliant move for a program who's not Michigan and has, like, you're going to be in the spotlight and you've got 1 year to perform. Obviously, Michigan's in their own situation, but he seems to be a guy who is kind of rising really fast through the coaching ranks. So he was he didn't even play football, but he was like around the Georgia program when he was in school there. After college, he coached for like a year in Athens, I think, in Athens, Georgia, and then very quickly gets picked up by the Georgia staff as a GA, and then very quickly goes to the Ravens, where he's very quickly promoted to an actual position coach. Usually it takes a lot longer to get where he's gotten. And if John Harbaugh is telling his brother, "Hey, here's your guy. This guy's an up and comer," I think that if we're talking about Indiana, it's probably a better hire than if you're talking about Michigan in this current situation. What bothers me is that you need to have somebody on staff now. Like, there's recruits making decisions, and you're going to win by the players in the field, not who's coaching them. There's no way to out scheme Ohio State. You've got to get some players who can run with Ohio State receivers and play with them. That's the only way to beat those guys. And they're missing an opportunity right now to get the players that they need to be able to play defense in any way. I don't care what scheme you're running.
I agree with most of that, but I did just see Tuff Borland try to run with Devonta Smith. So I feel like there is a way to out-scheme Ohio State on offense. Maybe it's a better bet than defense. But
yeah, I guess I don't know that there was any. I don't know that anyone in college football would have an answer for Alabama.
Well, the answer is not Tuff Borland on
Devonta. Well, I mean, what they obviously made a choice. They were going to play those linebackers and try to hold up against the run. But if they go the other route, if they go small and try to play a matchup game with the receivers, then they're going to get bowled over by that big offensive line and Najee Harris. I just, I don't. I'm not saying that Kerry Combs is, a defensive dynamo, far from it. I just don't know what he didn't have any good choices there, I guess, is in my opinion.
I think at least we can take solace in the fact that if Najee Harris was going to bring joy to Michigan fans, he was in the right place.
Right. it was a strange sort of pleasure rooting vicariously through Bama fans for Bama on the day. But anytime Ohio State experiences the kind of slaughter, the kind of despair that they're experiencing after that game, I'm feeling pretty good. Craig, what do you think of McDonald?
I don't know. It's a blank slate. Two things appeal to me about it. Maybe three. One is it can't get any worse. Two is that he's young. And three is I think John Harbaugh is a really smart guy. And I don't think John Harbaugh sticks a guy on the Michigan program unless he thinks he really believes that this guy will be an asset for the program. That's the biggest thing for me. I'm sorry, what, Brian?
Are we sure that John and Jim are like cool? Because like,
yeah, I think they are. I think they are.
Like, it could be like, well, why don't you take this guy?
No, I think they are.
Just had a press conference sort of sidebar. It's like, I love my brother. I really love my brother. So yeah, he loves.
And so I think that there's a chance that this could really be a home run, and because Michigan isn't in a situation where they can take flyers at this point, unless the flyers really have some back merit to them that isn't generally known to the fans. And so my instincts are this is probably really a good hire, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see who they. I mean, the key to me is, as Brian so eloquently pointed out, is Mike McDonald's resume is lacking coordinator experience or college experience. So do the Martelli thing, put some guys around him, even if it's not necessarily with a title of co, but you can put guys around him that are have been in the college game a while and are well versed, that have recruited at a high level, guys that maybe have had coordinator experience.
I know a safeties coach who's available.
I do too. I know a few.
I was going to say, they just tried that, and it was the worst hire in the history of college football.
But I mean, that's a good point. I'm sure there's guys floating out there who can help them in that aspect. But, I mean, it's just a tough hill to climb. Like, you're really just hoping that whoever they replace Justin Fields with at Ohio State is a big step down, and then you have a shot.
Yeah.
But I think it's a big ask if Ohio State's operating at this level to get your defense from whatever it was this year, 90th, up to a point where it's able to hang.
Yeah.
Their receivers are so good, man. Like, I don't even know if you need a good quarterback to do
you
it.
You need a good quarterback.
You need a fair quarterback, but like,
you know, Bowser, you know, when you walk through that door, you're still feeling like, all right, we got this.
Oh, sure. But like, like they're going to keep that guy upright, and they're going to be able, you know, as long as he's got a couple assets, then he'll be fine. And Ohio State has access to plenty of quarterbacks. I mean, they can pick somebody up in the transfer portal if they don't have one.
Yeah, that'll be, you know, I think that from the transfer portal standpoint for Michigan, I'm not convinced that they won't at least entertain the idea of a veteran quarterback, but it'd have to be a guy that you absolutely not a depth guy, a guy that you believe that can come in and start. Otherwise, I think it's, you know, you see who comes back between Joe and Cade. And I don't think there's any question with Cade, but obviously a question with Joe. And then you see how this young freshman, you know, enrolling early, how ready you can get him to really compete and possibly be the guy.
We really want another transfer quarterback in the Harbaugh era. Jake worked out, but everyone else since then has just been.
I don't think it's about what you want. I think it's the situation that you're in. And I'll go back to last year. I said at the time, as much as, the interesting thing for me about their quarterback dynamic, I don't know how we got on it, but you have a guy in Cade McNamara that has shown you he's a gamer, an absolute gamer. Have a guy in you know, Joe, who you look at and you're like, man, he looks so good in practice, hasn't really translated to games. And yet both guys are still inexperienced enough for you to say, guess what? If there's a guy that has played a lot of football, like when we were having this conversation about JT Daniels last year, I'm like, man, you can't pass on that. And I feel the same way again this year. If you got a guy that has a wealth of experience and, you know, showed some real, you know, positives when he played, he isn't just leaving because he can't play. I think you got to look at that guy. So,
well, if Joe leaves, don't they have to bring someone in the program? Because they're, I mean, they have a freshman, they have Dan Villari, and they've got Cade. That's it.
That's crazy. But they had three quarterbacks last year, right? Like, if they lose Joe Milton, who his best chance to start at a major college football program next year is to stay in Ann Arbor, because I mean, he was playing pretty well before he got hurt, and I think if you extrapolate his last few games' performance to the fact that he was not healthy. Like, yeah, he can compete here and he can start here. And I don't think that going to a new system with a new coach when you are still kind of a work in progress is going to be an immediate starting situation.
You're right. Hey, look, I don't dispute that. But you know, these decisions aren't always rational. I'm not saying.
Well, what I'm saying is, you've had two, if you have two back-to-back irrational quarterback decisions that really hurt your team, you've really put yourself behind the eight ball.
Yeah, right. And I'm not saying, I don't mean to suggest that that's what's going to happen. Is it a possibility? Sure it is. Time will tell. Hey, I gotta get a couple hockey takes. Always got to get a couple hockey takes before we come in. And Michigan came out of the gate like gangbusters, 9-0. And then the next night, it seemed like the game was won. And in the last few minutes, what happened, Ryan? Did they take their foot off the gas pedal?
I mean, pucks bounce. Like, I feel like anytime you look at a couple of goals late, you're like, all right, that's a breakdown here, that's a breakdown there. And there were breakdowns. But it's just, you know, it's a total goal series where it's 11-3 and you're out shooting them 2-1 both nights. And most of the time, you're going to win both of those games going away. And I just – It sucks that that's the way the second game played out, but just the way they played, I think, deserve better, and the sequencing of those goals is crushing, but the level of play there, I think, was what we expected.
Mm-hmm. This is not a 500 team, and this is the first time I think that the puck really bounced away from them. There's been reasons for everything, right? There's a reason for the Minnesota series. They were missing five guys. There's a, you know, reason for Notre Dame. That happens when you play Notre Dame. And when you play Michigan State and they get the first goal, then
the first shot.
Right.
And then
like the second shift. Have
six guys lying in the crease and just like, all right, we'll try to score through this. And Michigan does. And then they're still lying in the crease because it's a tie. They're like, ooh, we could tie this one. And you get the go-ahead goal, and it's just, you know, you get a couple of good shots from them that are well-placed, and it's a bummer, man. But you still outshoot them 2-1 both nights, and the domination on Friday was just – I mean, that was a 4-1 game until late when, you know, they kind of relaxed because they were up 9-0.
Yeah, I asked you guys last week, you know, sort of referencing – a point that Mel made. He said we need to be grittier. He said we're a pretty team. We need to be more gritty. And I think it was Seth said, no, they're pretty. This is going to be pretty. But you know, in talking about how heavily penalized they are, do you think that just evens out? Maybe we discussed this a little bit before, but do you think that just evens out? Do you think that if it was a refereeing issue, that just goes away? In the second half of the season, is a lot of this on Michigan? What do you think of that, real quick?
Well, so they get a 5-minute major in the second game. That I know the way that they're calling these games these days, that's a risk for a 5-minute major. But to me, that's a Michigan State player putting his own head in the strike zone, and you're making it impingent on players to protect other players who aren't doing the right thing that they should be doing in hockey. And you got to keep your hit. You got to keep your head up. And that's because there's no malicious intent on that hit, but it's still a 5-minute major. And, you know, given what we've seen not called 5-minute majors for hits on Michigan players, I have a hard time countenancing that call. But I mean, Michigan got a ton of power plays. That was the really disappointing thing about the second game, is that they had four or five power plays and they really didn't get a great scoring chance on maybe all but one. So they have a lot of possession, but they weren't able to really break them down. And that's kind of disturbing, because that's something that they've been excellent at so far on their limited opportunities.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to have to call it a wrap there, guys. As always, great, great show. Be sure to check the fellas out over on mgoblog.com and check them out back here next week for the MGO Blog Roundtable. That's going to do it for us back here. Same time, 6 to 10 a.m. on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.